T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
News Radio 930 WBEN.
It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Well, thanks for tuning into the show on News Radio 930 WBEN. And to think it's 24 hours since the doors to Buffalo Means Business opened. It was just a great time. Hopefully we'll have more time to talk about that a little bit later on. But this hour of Bowerly and Bellavia is brought to you by New York State Gaming Commission. New York, play numbers from April 7th to the 13th and boost your win with the Booster Ball promotion. We're talking about a chance to win an extra 5, 10, or 20% at no extra cost. Active for both midday and evening drawings. Check NYLboosterball.com for details. Must be 18 or older to purchase a lottery ticket. Please play responsibly. Bowerly and Bellavia, if you're just joining us and you've been cooped up all day in the office and you know, you saw how warm it was earlier and you were hoping that you'd have a nice, sunny, warm day into which to drive on the way home, sorry to let you down on that one. But we've got two shows. Number one, our complaint line is open. So far, the best call on that is the guy who is renting an apartment. The upstairs neighbor is a chronic weed smoker. The upstairs neighbor also, her landlord is her father. But the guy who is having to deal, along with his small kids, with this nonstop marijuana odor, you know, he's got it in writing that it is supposed to be a smoke-free facility. Now, we did the best we could with the call, but those of you who are attorneys who specialize in landlord, client, or real estate issues, we would love to get your thought on that if you would like to share your expertise. And this is why one of the reasons I regret not going to law school, it would have made things so much simpler as a talk show host. And a lot of talk show hosts actually have law degrees. I just don't happen to be one of them. We're also doing the dream that you always had that actually came true. For example, you might have always wanted to be a pilot of a single-engine general aviation aircraft, a small plane, and you actually did it, and you earned your pilot's license, and now you are such an accomplished pilot that you're thinking about maybe getting to fly twins and maybe moving on to jets. You know, I know somebody who started off with, you know, not knowing anything about flying, starting off with a single-engine rating, and now this guy has his own aviation company, and he is able to actually fly jets and gets a chance to meet a lot of very famous and influential people because he is such a great pilot. So if you've had a dream that has actually come true, by all means, let us know, because you are never too old to stop dreaming. And I'll tell you personally, the best way to get me to do something is to tell me I can't do it. When somebody says, you can't do that, there's no way. You know, I'll triple dog dare you. That generally is the best way to get me to do something. Not that, Phil. No, not that. I don't need to be double dog dared. It is 12 minutes after 5 at News Radio 930 WBEN, Bowerly and Bellavia. I love throwing curveballs. And let's get right back to the calls. I just see the looks I'm getting. The looks I'm getting. The things you do to me. The holes I dig myself into. My God, what do I do? We got to get back to Darla in West Seneca. Darla was talking about something that bothers her. It's on her complaint list, and this is that at the age of 18, a lot of foster children cease to be foster children as they graduate into adulthood, and her concern is that some of these young people are falling through the cracks. You know, of course, there are options for some of them, and I know one of the options, maybe not for everybody, but one way to make sure you get three squares and a cot is joining the military. If they've got that in them, often that can be a situation that puts a lot of people on the straight and narrow and sets them up for a lot of success. Look at Bellavia.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, this wasn't a complaint of mine, although it is a complaint, but this is actually a dream that's come true for both my husband and I. After watching the special that we watched where we saw that these kids were, you know, being tossed out, it was put in both our hearts to become foster parents ourselves.
That's cool.
So we already had three kids, Then we had a fourth. I think I was pregnant with our fourth at the time. And so about a year after we had our fourth child, we actually started the process of becoming foster parents. But we stopped because we were told that foster kids, or at least through this agency, that they needed to have their own bedroom. They couldn't share a room with our kids. And we had two boys and two girls, and we just didn't have enough bedrooms. So, and then we found out that we were pregnant with our fifth. So we were like, you know what, maybe now is not a good time. So we put it on the back burner, and we always thought, well, if we can somehow get an extra bedroom, you know, build, add on, whatever, maybe we can still do this. And in the meantime, like, we helped out my niece. We helped out different people in the family, and we've always had other people just living with us, and we've helped get them on their feet. So over the past, this last summer, one of the friends of my kids, her mom lost custody of her and her four siblings. And we found out that the one girl hadn't been placed with anybody. And so we got in contact with social services. And in the matter of a couple of hours, we were told that she could come and live with us, even though we weren't actual foster parents yet. It was something like a kinship because we knew her.
Mm-hmm.
And so she came to live with us. And then in November, her brother came to live with us. And so now we have two, and through Erie County, they can share a room with our kids. So it's, you know, the room issue wasn't as big an issue.
And Darla, you are not being compensated for this financially. This is something you are doing out of genuine concern and caring for another human being who, you know, again, was dealt, you know, nobody wants to be a foster child.
Right. Initially, we were not, but now we're realizing our dream. We are, with the help of Erie County, the social worker, we are in the process of becoming foster parents. Our home study was approved, and we've got two of six classes done. So we...
Yeah, that's really an incredible story, Darla.
Thanks.
That really is.
So, yeah.
You know, Julian Assange is looking for a place to live.
Oh, well, if, no.
You might have to repaint the walls when he's done, but...
No, but, you know, everyone... You watch something, it touches your heart, and you think to yourself, wow, you know, I want to do something. Normal people have a hard time, you know, finding out a way. First of all, to have a partner in your husband that also, you know, has the... You guys are on the same side and you want the same things, that's a beautiful thing in of itself. But the idea that you found a way... to, you know, you felt you were led to do something and you created the path in which you can impact someone's life. And then the universe takes care of itself, whether you believe in God or whatever it is. Every time you're doing the right thing, you find more and more doors open. And if this is where your gifts are and you're able to impact lives, look at how many other people are now, you know, waiting to say, hey, Darla, what, you know, we'd love to have this opportunity. And how many times do we lose people through the system? That just, they're not loved. They have no guidance. There's no compass there for them. And they will contribute to society. And what you're doing is, you know, taking a kid who's had a bad luck and a bad hand dealt, and you're telling them, look, that doesn't dictate your future. And that's a powerful thing.
And Darla, what you are doing is just so extraordinary. There are not many people like you in the world. And one of the people that is has been a hero to me since ninth grade because of all the work he has done with assisting children in need was my old algebra teacher at Ben Franklin Junior High School in Tonawanda, Ted Bluer. Ted Bluer has done more good in this world than in his lifetime than many of us could do in 100 lifetimes. He has a beautiful family, multiple children he has taken in, and it's a trip sometimes when some of his kids walk up to me when they see me out and say hello to me on behalf of their dad, Ted Bluer. But, you know, seriously, there's a guy who has probably had a positive impact on dozens of children, and just a very loving human being and one who just went above and beyond the call of duty. Darla, thank you for what you've done.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Let's get back to the calls, both your complaints as well as what dreams you've actually worked on to actually have them come true. And Amy in Wheatfield, you are on WBEN.
Hello. Well, my first complaint, I wanted to piggyback on that smoking one you just did with the apartment. I work in the Main Place Tower downtown, and I park in the Main Place parking ramp, and there's a lot of people that park there. There's people who work for the county that park there. And specifically, that's my complaint. They like to come down into the parking ramps and smoke next to cars and leave their ash or their butts all over the place. It makes a mess. The smell gets into your car. And I have been trying ineffectively, unfortunately, to get it enforced. It's a no smoking area. If you see an employee with the lanyard and their county identification on and you just say, hey, you know, there's no smoking here, I can do what I want, they're very belligerent. And I've written letters, I've gone to the county legislature and talked to people, just can't get it enforced. So it's very frustrating.
So they make these laws. I mean, this is a very important point. They make these laws, and much like the guy who has it in writing that his domicile is supposed to be smoke-free, there is no enforcement of the law. And not only that, you've got to deal with people being belligerent because they're having nick fits and need their cigarettes.
I love belligerent. That is what makes it so much more impossible. Is that it's one thing if, you know, just be friendly and say, hey, I understand where you're coming from. But people have to be belligerent, and that makes it like it almost puts you on a quest. You know, what's annoying and what's inconsiderate when someone is just like, Amy, I'm so sorry. You know, I didn't realize the smell was getting into your car. Why should you have to deal with that, Amy? I apologize. But when they're belligerent, now you want to go on a fatwa. Now you want to, like, destroy.
Jihad.
No, seriously. There's no need to deal with when people are cruel when you're telling them, look, your smell is affecting everything. I get headaches. I don't like what you're doing. And they do it anyway.
Amy, hold on, because we would like to explore this a little bit further with you as we take your complaints today and also hear about the dreams that you actually have made come true for yourself, especially a lifelong dream. There's this great sense of accomplishment and fulfillment you get from actually living out one of those. But so while we're sitting here in 40 degrees or 54 right now, but getting colder for Monday, he is in Jamaica, no doubt enjoying all of the wonderful things Jamaica has to offer. Or as I like to say, Jamaica's finest agricultural product. It is 23 minutes after 5. Here is Amy in Wheatfield.
Yes. So it's funny that you said that, David, because my colleagues in our office, we were all tired of this. They started going down and taking pictures of smokers. We got the sympathy of a security guard that works for the county, so we were sending him to him. He was trying to patrol down in the lower levels to stop it and take badge numbers. But unfortunately, it's for whatever reason, I even talked to the director of Buffalo Civic, who technically owns the ramp. They're just unwilling and in their mind, unable to enforce it. And I said, but Mr. Poloncarz has this Clean Air Act and he picks up plastic bags on the side of the road. So tell me he's not concerned about our health. But unfortunately, I just can't seem to get anywhere with that.
But, you know, here's something interesting that maybe people out there are thinking the same thing. I don't know. I try to put myself in people's headspaces. But in a way, it's kind of representative of this F you and everybody else except me attitude that we have in this country right now. You know, maybe it's that everybody gets a trophy generation. I mean, that sometimes can be an easy excuse cop-out. But think about it. At the basis, at the base of your problem with the smoker is the smoker's bellicosity and FU attitude toward a reasonable request that they actually abide by the laws and the practices of their employer and the law in general.
Oh, I agree. I agree. That's how it always sets me off. And again, a related complaint was at surrogate court today. Unfortunately, Tom, I just know you lost your brother, but I lost my mother a few months ago, and I had to
do
paperwork, and hopefully you don't encounter the same experience. Took care of it today. They're the most difficult people to work with. They do not want to help you. It's very much an imposition for them to deal with anybody, I think, other than an attorney, but I'm not sure about that.
You know, Amy, I got to tell you something. I'm going to start. This is something that's been boiling me for a very long time. I was hearing these commercials, and I had a recent family member that was involved in a timeshare. They passed away. I am going to rid the world of timeshares.
Oh, please.
I believe.
And timeshare meetings when you check into a resort?
No. I'm dead serious. I'm going to rip my shirt open and set myself on fire like I'm outside of the White House right now.
Oh.
I'm going to tell you something right now. No, listen to me. These people sign these contracts in a timeshares. There is no, we are in the United States of America. Does the 13th Amendment mean nothing to any? How can you sign a contract and you die, and now your family members have to go to a stupid timeshare in Florida, Texas, you name it? It's outrageous. And these people, the confidence, the cockiness, how cruel they are when you're on the phone with them. I'm telling you, Amy, you know what? I'll meet you in the parking garage. I'll help you with cigarettes.
For a cigarette.
And you take care of timeshares with me.
Anytime. I'll march right over surrogates with you.
Let's do it. We're going to tag team this entire world together and finish it.
All right. We got to talk more about the timeshare anger, the timeshare rage of David Bellavia a little bit, because this is a common situation. Thank you so much, Amy. Glad you called in.
You have a great weekend.
Will do. And you've given us impetus for the final half hour of this part of the program on News Radio 930 WBEN. Yeah. Looking this up here, Volcano Supplement. Okay. It is Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN 536. If you're just joining us, welcome to the show. And by the way, a very quick thank you to everybody who showed up at Buffalo Means Business. A wonderful event yesterday at Riverworks. Jill Schlesinger, by the way, is all that and a bag of chips. Absolutely delightful lady. Very, very down to earth. Very, very cool. So when you hear Jill on Money and Jill on the radio, know that Jill is truly one of the good people of this business. And I just sincerely want to thank those of you who introduced yourself to me. I love meeting listeners to this show. I am so taken with the fact that we've got such a large and diverse audience, all ages, every segment of society you can possibly think of. And it was just so nice to meet you. And I am so appreciative of all of the love, all of the kindnesses, and all of the support, not just yesterday at Buffalo Means Business, but in general. So all I can do is say thank you. There's no way I can ever repay you for the way you make me feel. And I will tell you that there's maybe 2 to 3% of the time I might have a little bit of social anxiety, but that's generally a 2 to 3 minute thing. So never feel hesitant about saying a quick hello if you see me out and about and you're a fan of the show. It's always nice to meet you guys. 54 degrees, and I wasn't that way. That's only like the last 6 years that I was a misanthropic you-know-what, and not anymore. Let's get back to the calls on WBEN. Next up on the line, we have Bill in Eden, who comes not bearing gifts today. Bill, you're on WBEN. Welcome.
Hey, Tom, I have a complaint for the complaint line here, and it's the way that the diocese is treated, like in the media. I mean, I hear the opponents, and obviously sexual abuse and child sexual abuse is a terrible thing, and I understand that. But I've been hearing, like, the complaints, and you hear those, like, on the newscast every hour, sometimes every half hour, and you're told to, you know, look online and see on the webpage, you know, what the diocese's response is, and that's all good and everything, but I guess people haven't really heard as much on air for that, you know, reported as they have the other side. So I just wanted to maybe be the voice of some of the points that maybe people that haven't actually looked at the diocesan documents, you know, should be aware of. So, for example, since 2002, allegations of child sexual abuse are reported to that independent review board. And that has lay people mainly in it. And it's included people like judges and former prosecutors, physicians, things like that. And also, since 2003, the diocese has reported abuse to the appropriate district attorney, according to the memorandum signed by all the district attorneys for the 8 counties of the diocese. The diocese is cooperating with and providing documents to state and federal investigators about abuse allegations received over the past several decades. And it has disclosed the complete scope of the crisis by publicizing that it's received allegations of child sexual abuse against more than 130 diocesan priests and over 40 religious order priests. But what people really need to understand, too, is that almost all of the reported cases of clerical abuse involve conduct that occurred decades ago. And there have been only 3 diocesan priests against whom there have been substantiated allegations of child sexual abuse in this century, and all 3 of those priests were removed from the ministry. And there have been no substantiated claims of child sexual abuse against any diocesan priest ordained in the past 30 years. And the last point, the diocese.
And let me just interrupt here, Bill. We did discuss that in some detail with the Bishop of Buffalo during his last appearance.
Yeah, and it's always good when you do that, and I appreciate that. It just seems like the way that the other the people that are accusing, whether it's Charlie the reporter or Robert the accuser or Mitchell the lawyer, they seem to be like coming up. It's almost like their own version of the Mueller probe, where they're coming up with, here's this and here's this, and deal with this. And like I'm saying, it's not that I'm trying to minimize what happened, especially decades ago, but it's just, let me give you an example.
Well, I'll just interrupt here as well because, I am not Roman Catholic, but I really fail to see, just on an administrative and common sense level, and maybe even a morality level, I don't see why the Bishop of Buffalo is facing so many calls for his resignation. Exactly what good is that going to do? You can't change time. You can't go back and change history. I think it would leave the state of things more confused than ever.
Exactly, and this bishop is very faithful to the faith. He's a very good teacher. He's a very loyal bishop. He's a very loving man. I mean, even his motto, like David pointed out before, live the truth in love, he's really trying his best to do that. He learns from many mistakes that have occurred in the past, and he's doing the best that he can. He's got like 3 more years. But the point that I was going to make with an example was there was like a young man from a parish who was just ordained like this last year, and he was going to have his first Mass in that parish. And it was like on the Friday before he was going to celebrate the first Mass that they came out with an allegation against a priest that had been in that parish formerly, that something had happened like 50 years ago. Just, at the same time, it just seems that the timing of it is bad. The optics are bad for that. The other, I'm trying to think of what other the example was of something similar to that. Like when the bishop, he didn't have to, he could have actually gone on the march for the St. Patrick's Day parade, but he decided not to do that. But even while he was celebrating Mass, in the shadow of the cathedral, you had people on the same day using that occasion to kind of drum this kind of stuff up. And I'm thinking, it just seems like, I understand the importance of this stuff, but it's like these people are kind of have an axe to grind against the church, and they're like hiding their malice behind the mask of virtue in the way that I see it.
That is a very interesting phraseology. I think you've in a balanced way talked. I mean, obviously you are, I believe one of your nicknames is Mr. Roman Catholic, if I'm not mistaken, or was that given to somebody else before you?
It might have been someone else, but I know you've used that before.
Yeah, I mean, obviously appreciate your point of view. And by the way, you may be interested in a show that we plan on doing on Good Friday. We're going to be examining the Shroud of Turin and whether or not it is the burial shroud of Jesus of Nazareth. And we'll be doing so with Barry Schwartz, who by birth is Jewish, and he was part of the scientific team which diligently investigated the Shroud of Turin. And it looks like he will be joining us during the program on Good Friday talking about Jesus.
Dude, that is like totally awesome to hear. I'm just so happy to hear that.
Well, I know somebody who had a hand in helping to set that up, and if we could get an email for him, that would be even better because I hate disturbing people's landline.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much, Bill. And by the way, you got to text me your Facebook. I know you're trying to be friends with me on the Tommy Nerd Facebook page, and for some reason, and you're not blocked. I can't find you. So, and there's a lot of Joe regulars on Facebook, so we got to obviously connect somehow on Facebook. So try a little harder. I wish I knew what to tell you to do. Send me a message on Messenger, maybe, and I'll check the filtered messages area to see.
Okay, I'll do that.
Because once I have your Facebook thing, then I can send you the Facebook request. I had to do that with somebody this week who wasn't blocked, but they weren't able to get through to me. So I had to send them the request, and somehow we circumvented the system. Thanks, Bill, and thank you for your lovely gift swag box yesterday.
Oh, you're very welcome. Squirrel.
Ah! Thank you. Bill in Eden, one of our, what we call in the radio business, P1 listeners. Let's get back to the calls. If you're just joining us, your complaint. And on the happy side of the ledger, did you have a lifelong dream and you actually got to do or complete your lifelong dream? I get to have a lifelong dream fulfilled tomorrow night when I have a chance finally to play guitar on stage with my beloved older brother, Dick, and the incredibly talented musicians of the All-Star Project. And I know that it might sound hokey to some of you, but ever since I was a little boy, I'd wanted to play guitar on stage with my brother. And the fact that I'm actually going to be able to do it 50 years after having the idea at first, frankly, it's a bit of a mind-you-know-what for me, and it's a great mind-you-know-what for me, and the All-Star Project's just an amazing bunch of musicians. Here is Joan in Buffalo. You are on WBEN. Joan.
Hi, Tom. I love you and David Bellavia. I listen to you every day, and I can identify with both of you. It's like you almost read my mind when you mentioned you're being able to do some gigging with your brother, because I see that on your Facebook, and I'm so happy for you. I remember when you were in the hospital, you know, with the heart issues, I believe you had your guitar with you.
That's right. That was the Fender Stratocaster.
Yeah.
And the Rickenbacker I'm playing tomorrow night at the Sportsman, the Rickenbacker was my own gift to myself after surviving the heart attack and surviving the open heart surgery. I'd always wanted a Rickenbacker, and I said, you know what? I'm going to get the Rickenbacker, and I can't wait to play it on stage tomorrow night. And the little bit of trivia is, one of the reasons I've wanted to play guitar with my brother on stage for the past half a century is I was there in the car outside of Kubera's Music way back when he bought his Rickenbacker, which looks exactly the way mine does. So it's just kind of it's a personal thing, and I hope it's not boring to people, but you know, we want to hear about your dreams that you've had fulfilled, because there's something to be said about being able to do something you've always wanted to do.
Yep, I'm going to address that. I just want to say the first guitar that I bought it from Cabera's in the 70s.
Wow.
It was a Goya, yeah. But in terms of my dream, it's very similar to yours, Tom. From the time I was 3 years old and I first heard Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue radio, all I wanted to do was play the piano. And I just felt so strongly about that. Well, my parents got me a couple of toy pianos, you know, in order to satisfy me, and they were really good, but I wanted a real piano. And at the age of 9 years old, I came home, and there was a real piano in my house. And I sat down, and I was able to play chords by ear and everything. And then, long story short, I majored in piano performance on the undergraduate level and then went on to get my master's in music education. So both of those dreams were fulfilled. I mean, I made my living by being able to indulge in my passion. Not that it was easy. I mean, 38 years teaching music in public schools, but still.
Wow.
It really was a blessing.
Joan, hold on if you could. I'm delighted with your story. It is wonderful, but you know, a lot of people do not understand the joy of playing music, and if you want to hang on and put us in the picture on that following news, you could probably elaborate on that a lot better than I can do. Joan knew she wanted to be a musician, specifically a pianist, went on to actually having a life paying the bills with music, which frankly is a little unusual, because most of the men and women who perform so hard for us on Western New York stages with live local music, whether they're cover bands or original bands, they've got to have day jobs in order to afford guitar strings and you know, to have a piano tune. But Joan, for those who don't know, can you explain the joy there is in being on stage and entertaining people through music, either solo or, my favorite, entertaining people as part of a group of people all working toward a common goal, i.e. the song and the music, and why that is such a trip?
Oh, wow. That's a big question to me. To tell you the truth, in terms of performing solo, that was always very nerve-wracking for me. As much as I love piano, you know, just getting up there. In fact, when I graduated, we had to do a full program solo, which was nerve-wracking. But I think music is such a healing thing. It's my passion. I know it's a big part of your passion also. So it's a gift any way that you can do it. but I did not.
Well said. Well said. Well, I actually just started to play so I'd have an excuse to have long hair. Joan, thank you very much for the call. Very inspirational. Maybe you've inspired some younger listeners to follow their passion.
Well, absolutely. But I had one other thing I wanted to comment.
Ooh, unfortunately, my dear, we are out of time for this part of the show.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
All right. Sorry about that, Joan.
Bye.
It is 5:55 at News Radio 930 WBEN, Bowerly and Bellavia. I don't like sending people away unhappy, and hopefully she understands that I wish we could pull extra minutes out of the clock, but we simply no can do. Bowerly and Bellavia, WBEN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.